Chavvav Sunday, Chavvav Teves, Rabbi Chaim Shechta, Inyan, the matter of Moshe.
In these four parashas, Shmois, Elas, Pavoeda, Boy B'Shalach, is featured many times the matter of Moshe, Moshe's staff or stick. I want to discuss where it came from, what was written on it, when it was used, and when not, and why not. It will become clearer with the Shia. Now, it's a famous Mishnah Pirkei Avos that one of the 10 things that was made on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmushes was a stick hamate, which is refers to Matar Moshe. Which is used during the Ten Makis and during the Yom Sfiras Yamsuf. So as I said, also in Pirkei Deblazer and Medrash, there he goes to great lengths to explain how it came into Moshe's hands, how he received it. So he explains there's lots of Medrashim, it's a bit detailed, so I'm not going to quote every Medrash, but it's basically based on Pirkei Deblazer and most of the material. So it was given over to Udum Rishon when he was sent out to Gan Eden, because it says he was sent out La'avoid Esu Adumu, to work the earth, and you can't work the earth if you've got no tools. So when the Eibishter says they sent him out to Gan Eden, he sent him with a matter, a stick, so he had a tool to work the earth with. Then Udum gave it over to Chanoich, and Chanoich to Mr. Shelach to Noach to his son Shem. Shem gave it to Avramavini to Yitzchak Avini, and Yitzchak to Yaakov Avini. Now Yaakov took it with him when he ran away from Esav, and when he came back, he says, "Kivamakli avartes yad mazeh," with the stick I passed through the yad, and he used the same stick Moshe Rabbeinu would use in the future when he split the Yamsuf. He used the same stick then. Later Yaakov took it down with him to Egypt, and before he was nifted, he gave it over to his son Yosef. And when Yosef was nifter, all Yosef's things were taken into Paro's, into one of his houses, into one of his palaces. And Yisroi, who was one of the counselors of Paro, saw this stick, interesting stick there, and he saw some things on it, some letters written on it. He didn't understand what I said there, but he understood through his sorcery powers that it was a very important stick, and he wanted it. So he took it home. And he planted it in his garden. Yisro took him the stick and planted it in his garden. And no one could come even close to the stick. And he saw in his stargazing that the person that they would pull out the stick from his garden, he would be the savior of Klal Yisroel. He took them out of Mitzrayim. And he made a neder that the man is going to do that, he'll give his daughter Tzipora as a wife. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came and slept out the stick, he took out the stick from the garden. He read all the oases that were written on the stick and took it out. And that's why Yisro gave his daughter Tzipora to Moshe for a wife. So now we know how it got to Moshe's hands. What was it made of and how big was it? There's a lot of Midrushim. They all mean the same stone, but there's a few ways of referring to it. Sanpir or Sanpirinoin or the Sesafir. All means the same type of material, and its volume was 40 saw, mem saw, the same as a mikveh. It was a huge thing, and it was derech nes, the Moshe Rabbeinu could even lift it or move it, use it. Now, what was written on it? There's also plenty of medrushim about this, and as the Targum Innocent says, that the Ibis's name was written on it, his name. I'm not sure if it means the Shem Mem Beis, the name of the Ibis with 42 letters, or it means the Shem Havaya. But the other Medrash Musa says clearly it means the Shem Yitkei Vovkei, Hashem Adna, Alav Dalad Niyid also. And another Medrash will see soon how it fits into the Pesikim, that also is written on it, Uzor Shetev is the Tzach Adash Ba'achav, which the Rosh Hashanah is for the Tanakhs. And then other Medrash Musa say that the names of the Uvas and the Muas and the Yit Beshvutim are also written on it. Fine. Now what we're talking about, let's see when it's mentioned in the Torah and when it was used and when not. The first time we see the Moshe Rabbeinu used the stick was by the snare, by the burning bush, when Eibishter saw the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come close to the bus, and it says to him, "Al tikrav haloim, don't come close. Shal na aleichom erem me'al raglecho, take off your shoes from your feet." And later we see the Eibishter says to Ma'al zebiot, "What's this in your hand?" "Es hamate, the stick." Now the question is, it says Mishnah Brachos, Nidalav Mudalev, why was Moshe Rabbeinu not allowed to go with his shoes? Because Admas Kodeshi, it was Har Sinai, the place where the snow was Har Sinai. It was a holy place on the earth. And therefore, he wasn't allowed to go there with his shoes on. Now it says in the Mishnah that a person is not allowed to go onto Har Abayis, loy be makloy, loy be manuloy, not with his stick and not with his shoes. Now, if there was Admas Kodeshi, if there was a holy place, you can't go with your shoes. How was the Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to go with his stick? It should be the same as Har Abayis. If Har Abayis can't go with your shoes or with your stick, you shouldn't have been allowed to go here with his shoes, neither with his stick. So the Chief and Shvis Yaakov, somebody asks, why is it that old people that it's difficult for them to walk are allowed to take a stick into shul with them, into Beis Medrash, Beis Knesset? Says the Mishnah that you can't go to Har Abayis with your stick. If that's the case, we know that Beis Medrash is Mikdash Ma'at. Therefore, it's a digma, it's an example of the Har Abayis. You shouldn't allow people, older people, or say a Ruv or a Rebbe, to go with sticks. You shouldn't be allowed to come into shul with a stick. Answers the Shvis Yaakov that the Mishnah there doesn't mean all types of sticks. It means a stick, Hol Chedruchim. It means a traveler's stick. It's a cheap and dirty thing. It's not covered to come to Har Abayis. It's such a stick. That's the type of stick you're not allowed to take with you. But when it comes to Matashul Kuvah, a respectful stick, say from a Ruv, an elderly person, that is for sure allowed. And it says on myself, I became Ruv in Metz, in the town Metz. I went to the shul the first time, and they showed me my place where I'm meant to sit. And I saw there was a hole in the floor next to the Ruv's chair. So I asked him, "What's the hole?" So he says, "It's made for the Ruv's stick. When it comes, we should always have someone to hold the stick." So you see from there that when it comes to Matashul Kuvit, a respectful stick, a respected stick, there's no problem when you come to this match. And he says, "I've got a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take his shoes off, he was allowed to keep the stick. It must be, because that was also Matashul Kuvit. He was also allowed to keep the stick, even though it was Admas Kodesh." It says the Chedu in Yosef Oimetz, it says that it's very difficult to say that the Mishnah, which says stam makl, any type of stick, means only a stick of travellers, a dirty, cheap stick. It says stam makl, every single type of stick you're not allowed to take on the Har Abayis. And it's a ba'ena re'isi, I saw my own eyes in the towns of Edom, that a house or property that was owned by the king, no one was allowed, even when the king wasn't there, even when his family wasn't there, no one was allowed to come into his property, his house, with a stick. Because that takes away the kuvud from the king and his family. So it's even that, even a matashul kuvud, even a respectful stick, is also not allowed. And whoever is careful from doing such an act of taking sticks into shul is very praiseworthy. Are you going to ask me, there's got a raya from Mata Moshe? Why is Moshe allowed to take a stick? Yeah, it's a different kettle of fish. That was an exception. That had the Shem Avaya on it. Had all these chushva things written on it. But normal sticks, even when it comes to elderly people or Arov, are for sure not allowed to take into shul. After I found these two things, I went to Koryl. My chavrisa showed me there's a Melbourne Yirmiya, Perik Alev, a Puzugid Alev. And there he explains there are three types of sticks. There's the stick of Meshenes that we see in parts of Meshputim, Menishnah on Meshantoy, means for an ill person that can't walk, as a type of crutch or walker, is called the Meshenes. Then there's a Makl and a Mate. He says a Makl is for shepherds when they go on in the field, and they, and a matter is for a roof or for an elderly person. So therefore, you can say, according to this Malbim, there's no kash in the first place. The Mishnah says, makal. You can't go into Har Abayis with your makal, which is a dirty, cheap thing used by all shepherds, as people traveling. But in the Puzik, it says Mate. It doesn't say Makkel Mate. The Mate is a respectful stick, and therefore that is allowed. Okay, let's go back to the Psikim. Moshe was told by the Eibishter that when he goes to Paroi, he should take with him his stick. Why do you have to take with his stick? And doesn't mean only this one time when his stick turned into a snake. He always should go with a stick. Why is that? Because the person who is sent on a shliches and takes with a stick, it shows he's coming from an important source. So it says in our Chaim HaKodesh. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says the Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Novi that we found that always used a stick. Well, the Noviim didn't use a stick. Okay, next we see that when he sent Moshe Rabbeinu sent to Paroi, his Eibishter tells him that he should say to Paroi, look at all the nisim, all the miracles that I have placed in your hand, and do them before Paroi. He says the Medrash I put in your hand means that it was written on the stick, that Tzachat Ashbachav, it literally was put in his hand because he was holding Tzachat Ashbachav. Also, I don't know, I saw a Pesach and Hagodesh Pesach that says that the Tzachat Ashbachav is Gematria 501 and Asher is also 501. Re'ekul Amorisim, Asher, the 501 and Tzachat Ashbachav, Sassam Tibiotcha, put in your hand. Okay, now it gets a bit complicated. When he actually performs the signs that Eibishter sent him before Paroi, and he's told to throw down the stick, and it turned into a snake, says Amar Telaharan, Kachas Matchu, take your stick v'hashlech and throw it down. V'yashlechan es matayim, Naharan, throw it down. Now, what does it mean Matchu, your stick? If I speak to Rabbi Yonason and I tell him, tell so and so to take your stick, yeah? Does it mean your stick or his stick? It can mean either that you should say to him, take your stick, his own stick, or it can mean that I'm saying to you that you should say to him that you take your stick. Yeah. So it's not clear if it means Mata Aharon or Mata Moshe. Because Aharon also had the Mata. We see as he later out Mouth from Koirach, when Eibishter told him to put it in Oil Moyet, in the sprout of the almonds and the flowers. So the Taka Machloek is between Ibn Ezra and Zoya Kudish. The Ibn Ezra says, this is Mata Moshe. Even though he spoke to Aharon and said, take your stick, it means that Moshe is to tell Aharon that he should take Moshe's stick. But the Zoya Kudish says differently. The Zoya Kudish says no. It means that he took Aharon's stick. Why was it that Ives didn't want Moshe to use his own stick? And he told Moshe to tell Aharon, take Aharon's stick. Because he didn't want this holy stick to become tumah, because it's going to come in contact with all the other sticks that also turned into snakes and they're going to eat it up. They want to touch the other sticks, they're going to is going to make it tumah. Now when it comes to the Makkah of Dam, when the Eibishter told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and meet Paro in the morning next to the Nile, and says, "V'amata shene pachle nuchas tikav yadcha." The same stick that turned into a nuchas, take in your hand. So it's also told on the same machlokes. Ibn Ezra and Zoya Kodesh. Kund Ibn Ezra means Mata Moshe, and Kund Zoya Kodesh means Mata Har. And when he's actually told to do it, he says, "Amar lahar and tell lahar and kach mat chunat yadcha min Mitzrayim." Take your stick and stretch your hand on the waters of Mitzrayim. Now Rashi says, the famous Rashi, why did the Aharon have to do this makkah and not Moshe? Because when Moshe was a baby, he was saved by the water when his sister put him on the water. It wasn't fitting for him to hit the water to do this ness. But then again, even though Aharon did it, it's not clear if it's his stick or Moshe's stick. It could still be Moshe's stick, even though Aharon could have taken Moshe's stick. None of that. But here, there's no reason why he shouldn't use his own stick. Why, before we said that it wasn't fitting for such a holy stick, Moshe's stick, to be used because it's going to become in contact with the other sticks of the Mitzrayim. But here, why was not fitting for him to use Mata Moshe? that had all the holy things written on it. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that because it says that the Paro used to act as if he was a god and he didn't go to the toilet the whole day long, and he used to go in the morning to the Nile and excuse himself there, it was a very dirty place, and I just didn't want this stick either to come in contact with the water. It was such a dirty place, didn't want to use the stick either, therefore here also a Aharon stick was used. Now when it comes to the mark of Tzfaradaya, there's a slight difference. When he's told to do it, he says, take your stick, stretch out in your hand. But when he actually does it, he stretched out his hand with no stick being mentioned. Before he says, stretch out your hand with the stick. And Aharon did it, he stretched out his hand with the stick. He says, he stretched out his hand. Why was there no stick used here during the second mark of Tzfaradaya? So Ben Ezra says, they wanted to hint that he could even do the makkah without using the stick. So two pshutim on this. One could be because in the first makkah, the water itself turned into blood. Therefore, he had to use the stick for it to change. Here, the water stayed itself, but just out of it came all the frogs that were jumping out of it. Or you could say that the same way seen in Chazal, that the frogs were praised for the cheshik, the roots of Hashem. They jumped into the ovens. And the Moshe Nefesh, because Abish told him to do. Also, you could say that as soon as they saw the hand of Aharon being raised without the stick, even they jumped out of the water, and there's no need to use the stick. Even they didn't have to come and hit the water like it did by the dam, because they're so keen to do Rutz Hashem. Now, Makkah of Kinim was also performed through Aharon, not through Moshe Rabbeinu. But here it says that when he was commanded, Neteis Matchu v'Hachaf Ha'uretz, and he hit the Aharon and his Yudai with his stick, b'matay with his stick. He did use the stick and he actually hit the earth. Here Rashi also comes, also famous Rashi, why was this now not performed by Moshe Rabbeinu? Here there's no water involved. Because of the dust and the earth, the Moshe buried the dead Mitzri that he killed, which helped him to hide the person. Therefore, it wasn't fitting for him to. It wasn't fitting for him to come and hit the sand, and therefore Aharon did it. Now, it's also not clear whose matter he used here. And here, there's no problem of being it of it being made tumah because of other sticks of Mitzrayim. There's no problem of it coming into contact with the water, which was a dirty place they wanted to come in contact. Therefore, it's not clear. I haven't found a bit in this. Which stick was used? If it was Matan Moshe or Matan Aharon, no reason why it shouldn't have been Matan Moshe. No reason why it should use Matan Aharon. Okay, next three markers: Urov, David, and Shechin. There's no mention whatsoever of the stick being used. Nothing. Now, Burad and Arbe are exactly the same thing. It says when he was commanded, he's told to use his hand. It says by Burad, Natayez Yotcho al Hashemayim, and by Arbe, Natayez Yotcho al Eretz Mitzrayim. Use your hand, but when he actually did it, Vayet Moshe es Matayi, he actually did use the matter. Now, why is it that when he was commanded to, he was only used the hand without the stick, when he came to actually doing the act, performing the makkah, he used the stick, even though it wasn't commanded? He says that Ben Ezra, because he thought logical thing, for probably until now I've used the stick for every makkah, even though the Eibishter didn't say your hand with your stick, he assumed that that's what you had to do. The Al Shachkuri says the Moshe Rabbeinu was such a unaf, he didn't feel himself worthy of doing it with his own hand. He wanted to take a godly stick with Ibish's name on it. And that's why he thought necessary to use the stick. Now, Makos Choshech, there's no stick mentioned. It says Netei Yatchu, and when he did it, he says Vayet Moshe as Yudai. I hear why did he not use the stick just like he did with the last two Makos. Says Rechama Kudish. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this darkness was a heavenly holy darkness, like it says in Tehillim Yushas Choshech Sisra, the Eibishter made a concealment of darkness around himself. Therefore, he didn't feel it fitting for a stick, which is the Gashmiest thing to be used. What was necessary? He just took out his hand and started. Now, after having said all that. I had a bit of disappointment when I saw that the Psad Yagun says that, yeah, even though it doesn't mention every single makkah about the hand, about the stick. For sure, every single makor was used, the hand and the stick. But it's not necessary for the Torah to be ma'arich and explain every single makor. So you cut out the last 5 minutes of the dusha, because according to Tzadigun, every makor was used, commanded and used the stick. Fine. Let's go to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is a very wide machloikas. If Moshe Rabbeinu used his stick or his hand. And it says in Pusik, Vayurem va. Says, lift up your stick and stretch out your hand on the sea. And the Targum and Ezil and others of Benusin and Psikta all say this means lift up your hand and use the stick and stretch out your hand with the stick on the sea. The Psikta says the Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yamsuf and it said split, and the Yamsuf refused. So he went back to the Eibishter and said, Eibishter, he doesn't listen to me. Said the Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you do to a servant that doesn't listen to his Lord? You have to hit him. So take your stick and hit him. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did in a split. So for sure, from here you see clearly that the stick was used when the sea was split. Now, I said that there are many, many opinions that the Lushan Huraim doesn't mean lift up. It means put away or throw away. Like we see, it says in the Shira, Yuruvayom, they were thrown down into the water. Or when somebody's made him trimmer, he takes away, separates from his produce the trimmer. Or the trimmer sadation. He took away the dation from the zbeir. So put away or throw away your stick, and the tzadikon only use your hand. And for all the pesikim later, after this pusik, there's no mention of the stick, only the hand. The pusik of Aleph says, v'yet Moshe is Yudai. Chavov netai is Yadcho. Chavzaam v'yet Moshe is Yudai. Whole time, the hand. So v'hutim. Put away your stick, throw away your stick. Says Yotcha, only use your hand on the Yamsuf. It explains Playuka, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to throw away the stick and then use his hand? Because there were certain members of Klal Yisrael who didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu was worthy of doing anything. It's only because he had a holy stick in his hand, that's why he could do all the 10 makas. Therefore, the Eibishter wanted to make them believe in Moshe Rabbeinu that he was worthy of being leader of Klal Yisrael. That's why I said to him, put away your stick, use your hand. Through that, they believed in Hashem. If Moshe Avdei, also through Moshe, that he was the one that was worthy to perform all these nisim. Also says the Kliyuka, very interesting point, says that the Makas referred to Etzba Alekim, the finger of God. Therefore, when he performed the ten makas, he took a stick, which is an example of a etzba, a finger. But when it comes to Yamsuf, it says Yad Hashem. It was Yad Hashem, the hand of Irish. That's why I said to him, put away your stick and then use your hand. It means an example of the Irish's hand. Then there's a few more mafarshim. They'll have like in between some type of pshat. Ibn Ezra says that he held the stick. And as soon as the sea saw his hand, it split without having to hit the sea. And the Sforno says that they used a stick to make the winds blow, to help blow the sea away, and he used his hand to split the sea. And Zohar Kodesh says that when he split the sea, he used his right hand, and when he put it back, he used his left hand. Interesting. Okay, then there's a very interesting maase with the Vilna Gaon and Moshe Mendelssohn, Shachan Mishom Yerkev, that the Russian Tsar was looking through his treasure houses, and he found a stone there that looked like a very pushed, a plain stone. He couldn't understand why it was part of his treasure house. So he sent it to Mendelssohn, and he asked him, please tell me what is so special about the stone. So he didn't have a clue, and he wanted to make the Vilna Gaon also be embarrassed that he also wouldn't know. So he said to the Tsar, I think send it to the Vilna Gaon, he's a very clever man, I'm sure he'll tell you what's so special about the stone. So the Vilna Gaon didn't know either, he left it on his table and went to learn. When he came back, he saw there was a child playing in his house, and the stone fell into a cup of water. Looking to the water, he saw that the water had split around the stone, it had split. He understood that this stone was the sampir, the same material as Matzah Moshe. So he sent back to the Tsar to say that this is the sampir, has the koyach of splitting the water. So says the Moshe Mendelssohn, he sent back to the Vilna Gaon, if that's the case, what's the big deal about Moshe Rabbeinu splitting the Yamsuf? Yeah, he had the sanpir, what's the big deal? Says the Guru, the Hurmas Matka means put away your stick and then use the hand, didn't use the stick whatsoever. The Vilna only said that to answer Moshe Mendelssohn. But I mean, the kash isn't the kash in the first place. Even though the Sanhedrin has got a koyach, they have a glass of water around the stone, it would split. It hasn't got a koyach to split the yamsa from this side to the other side. Only where it comes into contact with the water, it moves away. It hasn't got a koyach to put it here, the whole sea is going to split. Except for that, there's a kasha. If by the Makim Dom and Sfaradeya we see that the Eibush didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to perform these acts, they shouldn't be ungrateful for the water that helped him when he was a baby. How come Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to hit the water? According to the Farshim, they did use the stick. How come he was allowed here to use the stick? Why didn't he ask Aharon to do it? How come Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to split the yamsa? See, three answers. One answer was that when it came to the Makom Dam and Tzfardeya, the water suffered. It turned into blood, and a fox came out of it. But here, okay, there was a schiss for the water to save the Eden from their troubles. So there was no problem with Moshe Rabbeinu doing it. Another answer could be that only the Nile was the water that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to hit because the Nile itself helped Moshe Rabbeinu to save him as a baby. But now as well, he wasn't allowed to hit it. But when it comes to Yamsa, it was a different body of water. There was no problem of him hitting it. Now that answer is a bit difficult to understand, because when we came to the Makom of Kinnim, so the Makom of Kinnim, that because the sand helped Moshe Rabbeinu to hide the mitzri he killed, therefore Aharon Kohen should do it. Now it's very hard to say there was the same sand. It wasn't exactly the same place where he buried the mitzri. So generally, the sand wasn't fitting for him to hit. Therefore, as well as the water, and what it was fitting Moshe Rabbeinu to hit. Therefore, it's a bit hard to understand. But you can say, it says in Chazal that there was a tenai, it was already a condition from the time of Asa Bereshis that the speed is going to sit, that the sea is going to split and save the Eden. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't actually perform anything, he was just doing to make sure they came into fruition. It wasn't actually him actually making. Making a makkah like it was with Amunt's for there. And one other place I want to discuss where Matan Moshe was mentioned was after the Yamsif, the Eden came to Moshe Bain saying, "We're thirsty, nothing to eat." And it says, therefore, the Ibis has told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Take your stick and hit the stone and give the Eden to drink." Matchil, and your stick, Asher Akisa Boyas Hayar, which you hit the Nile. Kach biyotcho, take in your hand. Now Rashi says, why was it necessary for him to take the stick? Because the Eden Tarnet, that this stick is only for punishment, because it only does bad things. It gives tamakas for the Mitzrayim, it drowned all the Mitzrayim. Now Rashi wanted to prove to the Eden that this stick was also for good, and he used it only for good purposes. He hit the stone, it came out of water, and helped all the Eden. Now everyone should ask the Kasha, but we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the Nile. He was told to tell his brother Aharon to do it. Therefore, how can he say, Matchu, Shekisa Bayase, or the caveat, the stick that you hit the Nile with to take in your hand? It wasn't him, it was Aharon. So it's Kasha asked by the Gemurah in Sanhedrin Tzatzak Tesma Beis. Now, from here we see that whoever makes his chaver do a mitzvah is considered as if he himself did the mitzvah. Here's the Makor. And because he told Aharon to do it, it was considered as if he himself did it. Now, to finish off,
you see, if it was a machlokes, which
matter
they used by the...
Yeah, even though it was a machlokes matter, it was sure Aharon did it. It wasn't Moshe that did it. It doesn't matter which matter it was. Aharon did it. Aharon, by the Makom Dam and Tzfardeya, he hit the Nile. It wasn't Moshe. So how can Rabbeinu...
No, I'm saying, because the Gemara says that the Gemara says that the matter could be used even for good things.
It's not the Gemara. No. Who says a good thing? There's one of three some. I'll finish up with a nice vote from Shimshon Ostapolia. He's Madaik. Why does he have to say, Kach biyotchu, take in your hand? What then is he going to do with it? Sure, he's going to take it in his hand. Matchash is by your Kach biyotchu, take in your hand. So it says like this, on the stick of Moshe was written, Shemava, Yitkai Vuvkai. And everyone knows, Midas Harachim, Yitkai Vuvkai, Midas Harachim, the Midas of Mercy. But backwards, Kai Vuvkai Yid, Midas Hadim. So when it came to the Makkah of Dom, King Makadon says the Ibish there, I am hitting with the stick which is in my hand. Of course, it's in his hand. It means to say the chalik, the part of the stick that is usually in his hand, he had to turn around the stick so when he would hit the water, it would be kayib of kayid upside down, midas adim, and through that he could bring punishment to Egypt. But now, when he had to use midas rachmim, he says the part of the stick that you used to hit the Nile, that part taken in your hand, turn over the stick. Therefore, when you hit it, it's going to be yidkevuv midas rachmim, and through that, you'll be able to take out water and drink the Eden. Shkoyach.